In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Stark, and my husband, David Stark, as we talk about being irritated in church, a word of the Lord that my husband has, and a new day of the power of God. Join us for What the Prophets Say. Hello, gorgeous human beings of the world. It's What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark, and once again in the studio in Glasgow, here at the headquarters of the Global Prophetic Alliance, where our mission vision statement is to reveal the voice of God to the nations. I am joined by everybody's best, David Stark. How are you, my husband?
I am well, Emma.
And do you know what? I know we talked about clothes in the previous episode because you're so gorgeous and stylish. I bought you those shoes for a birthday and you weren't very sure about them. But are you going to flick your feet up into the shot?
What?
Are they? They're DM, Doc Martin.
Sandals. Oh, my goodness.
Or what would we call those?
I think they're sandals, aren't
they? Are they sandals? I'm asking the class behind the glass what the official name is.
Mules.
Oh, mules. Oh. Oh,
like wearing horses on your feet. No.
Okay.
Mules.
Oh, my goodness.
Soft suede green.
What has happened to me?
I don't know.
Frilly shirts and sandals. My goodness. It's because we have had 2 weeks of relatively warm weather in Scotland,
which is so rare. It's been torrentially poured because I thought I'm going to have to water my flowers. Oh no, it's Scotland, it rains.
So it's thrown me into a terrible muddle as to what to wear because we...
Has it?
Yeah.
Right.
Because usually it's kind of obvious. But
the Scottish don't tend to have a winter and a summer wardrobe
that is particularly different. No.
So.
You have your Scottish wardrobe and then for a week where you go
your holiday
to the
wardrobe.
Beach. Yeah, that's it.
I literally actually just, I didn't have time to open it yesterday, but I'd ordered a swimsuit online. It's still in the bag. I think I threw it on the end of my bed after we made the bed this morning. So that's a whole crisis to go through later, because is there any person in the world who likes buying a new swimsuit or likes the first try on to parade around their bedroom in private before they go on annual leave?
Right, there's a thought for everyone to...
I'm glad I'm such a source of entertainment in your life. Where would you be without me?
Exactly. There's a whole podcast episode. Where would I be? Where would we all be without Emma Stark in our life?
And our load of nonsense. Mm-hmm. What a joy to love the voice of God. It does make you extreme. Any extreme listeners? Welcome to the happy family. So there we go.
Mm.
Will we talk about what we discovered our son had just done?
Which particular familial confession is this?
His armpit hair.
Okay.
One of our
children.
He will
love that you've brought this up on our podcast.
He will hate us for this. I'm not even going to mention which one of our children.
Oh my goodness, yes.
We discovered trimming his armpit hair so he could look more buff. Teenage boys are a whole hilarity.
Well, there you go.
Might have to edit that bit out. The joys of family life.
Yes, indeed. Wow. Summer ready.
Yeah. I'm just going to canvas. Anybody here done that? Apart from the girls? Any of the men in the room? The class behind the glass? Oh, apparently, oh my days, one of the class behind the glass, David, is saying there's a whole story.
I think you're going to have to start filming your podcast in front of a studio audience so that it's not just...
Oh, it takes half a millisecond off your, length time?
Yeah.
What stroke? All strokes.
You cut through the water aerodynamically. Yeah, absolutely.
Butterfly.
Cyclists do it too.
Do they?
Yeah, they definitely do. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yes, indeed.
So in that context, yes.
In a sporting context, it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
In a vanity context, clearly it is too. We're learning. Shall we move on to prophecy?
That's why I've shaved my hair, to just lose weight. It's easier than a diet.
I'm not going to reduce my calories. I'm just going to shave my head.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Get contact lenses instead of glasses.
Oh, you're every little half measurement.
Yeah, this is all just to speed myself up.
To lighten the load.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And people think I'm the extreme one. Okay, David, you came to me this morning. We were driving to work in the car and you said, I have a prophetic word. I can count on one hand the number of times you've ever said that to me.
Hmm.
Normally, the conversations are me to you. David, I've heard the Lord. Can you just check it for me? Where's my theology master here?
Hmm.
And you sit and there's a very set facial expression of your prophetic assessment, facial expression.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually taken photographs of him to show him his prophetic assessment facial expression. But I've not developed that yet with you.
Oh.
So you, yes. Let's have a go.
Huh.
I have a prophetic word. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there are always prophetic words there. All of us, I think they're just waiting there. I think I don't always allow myself the time to fully pull them down out of that little room that God puts them in.
Well, because you're so busy assessing everybody else's yeah, all
exactly,
around about you.
Exactly,
as we say, yeah. Did God actually say?
Mm.
Okay.
But God's been talking to me about a couple of things and they've really been kind of stewing on my insides. And so I think it's something that needs to be, we need to discuss.
The floor is yours.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, God said your services, this is a word to the church, the wider church. In fact, I think it's not limited to this nation. It's the church in the nations. Your services, i.e. your Sunday morning programs, because that's for most of us what they are for you, not for me, says the Lord.
Oh, hang on a minute. Your Sunday morning services are for you, not for me.
Mm.
Ooh-hoo.
Now, I know that Scripture does say that they do not give up the habit of meeting together. Mm-hmm. So it does have a benefit to us, but it has become about us.
I often wonder sometimes when I'm visiting churches when they last had God in the building.
Wow.
I often meet him in the car park.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Waiting to be let in.
Yeah. It doesn't seem to really matter whether they let him into them or not.
So then God said, you must become the church and not the meeting. You must become the service and not the consumer.
You must become the service.
The service, not service as in meeting, but the service to the people you and not the consumer.
So S-E-R-V-E as to serve rather than the service of a structure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, the opposite of consumer. Consumer was the word that I was hearing.
Yeah.
You have become consumers. Your services are for you. Your meetings are for you.
Okay.
And so what I then heard was this instruction there for church, build walls of glass. Church, let your worship be seen. Turn yourselves inside out. So that's that service. Turn mm-hmm. yourselves inside out so that the world might see your love for me and for one another. I saw churches take their work outside where prayer for one another is visible, where feeding soup to everyone is highly visible. This is the day, God says, of the church on the balconies, the forecourts, the glass rooms, the high streets and the car parks.
Wow.
And what I then started to chew on was, what does that look like practically? So I always am thinking practically, thinking about ourselves in our own place.
I mean, I think there's been this push to be church without walls. I actually think the church without walls is just another way of saying seeker friendly or contemporarily accessible. In all of the wrong ways, in that we're our service is an accessible place to walk into, and we have a great welcoming team, rather than actually a sense of an interface with the power of God. And I wonder what you're pushing there is the lack of the interface, or what God is pushing through you, the lack of the interface with His power at any point in the week.
I think it's two parts to it. It's the lack of the interface. I think that's a good phrase for it. The interface with His power.
Yeah.
24/7 or at least
yes.
12 hours out of the 7. Let's go easy on ourselves,
yeah.
And the interface with the rest of the world, who we're called to serve, who we're called to be light to. I think there,
yeast, salt, light.
This idea of the building the walls of glass is to be a service to people out there, but it's a service of what we do with God. And so we are hiding our light under a bushel. We are going into our church buildings, hiding away for a meeting a week, which are for ourselves and not for God. And then actually it is about, and I think that's why we're seeing such an excitement on our social media feeds, where evangelists are out in the street, healers are out in the street. They are doing the work of God in the streets, and that is where there's a real excitement in the worldwide church, that where people are doing that, they are seeing real fruit.
I think there's a couple of interesting turns of phrase that you have there, particularly around the fact that the service, the gathering point, is for us, not for God, but neither is it for the lost. It's a shallow in its function. I think.
I suppose we make it as our own social club, our weekly country club. Gathering.
Yes, it doesn't need God to survive. I think what I'm interested in all of that is now that we are in a pre-Christian society within the British Isles, I think America is still cast as a post-Christian society, Britain as a pre-Christian society. In the
it's gone so far after that we're pre unevangelized.
So in other words, there aren't the people of God in the church. There aren't the nominal in the church. There's not just regular church attendance in the way it would have been 20, 30 years ago. And therefore, when people are searching, what are they searching for? They're not searching for a sense of a religious framework. They actually want transformation. The hunger is there must be more. There must be transformation. I am stuck. I am desperate. I am hungry. And you see that. We see that in a pre-Christian society who have no framework of God. They want par encounters, relational transformation, security that is not just a religious traditional security, but security literally from the kingdom of God. I am certain that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life in the midst of my crisis. It's actually quite strong things that they want. They want encounter, turnaround, certainty, miracles, life and hope and holiness and fire. And they are fed up of their own framework of choosing. And so the church that does not display that or offer that almost within 30 seconds of participation within it or entry into it looks unauthentic. If there is anything that is wasting its time in its traditions, if there is anything that looks like it's playing a game, if there is anything that looks like it is a waste of time and is therefore the comfort of a lukewarm people, I promise you, from the amount of churches I stand in a year, that church is not in the right place, because the world is desperate for the strength of authenticity and the ring of authenticity.
Yeah, just getting actually into people's lives and being real and being honest, being authentic, ministering to them. I think there's the lazy way of doing church is we put our meetings on, we make them really slick, professional, nice, and we hope and pray that one person from our work or from our that we met somewhere will come in and they'll slip into the pew and they will encounter God sovereignly and miraculously. It's a little bit how we pray for this sovereign move of God in revival, that God will just impact them. And we have taken our part in the equation kind of almost out. All we think about is that we can get them over the threshold and then we say, God, the rest is up to you. But actually, where I'm seeing God move the most these days is where we actually break that up and we get involved and we actually say, can I minister to you? Can I Can I heal you? Can I pray for you? Can I do this? Can I, mm-hmm. can I give you a bowl of soup? Can I, you know,
from the practical power of love to the, I think my personal frustration, because I cannot tell you, I mean, you do know, and I do tell you, but I use that phrase in desperation, of the number of conversations I have had with the Lord in my own head, then with you coming home, where I'm just so irritated by the waste of the time of the service that I sat through. It did absolutely nothing. It did absolutely nothing for anybody. Now, I know that's a grandiose, cover-all, macro statement. And maybe there was somebody seated in the back row that it did something sweet to. But the lack of the sense of the framing of leadership in this space, we believe you can meet Jesus, be transformed, be healed. We believe that if you have a need, it's met, that there are miracles. We believe in the indwelling spirit. We believe in a God who encounters. We believe in a God who is fire, who knows what it is to deal with your sin. We believe in a God. And so that I think that what I'm irritated by is the lack of the framing of that sort of gospel. So, and that's a leadership job, because a leader must frame the space to help the people know what to expect from their God.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And the sense of a lack of courage to frame appropriately our shared space, our shared time. So if you cannot lead that frames an expectation, you cannot expect your people to just miraculously become living embodiments of the mm-hmm. transformation of God everywhere else in their lives. That's leadership issues.
Lead them into it, yeah.
And you may not have all the answers as a leader, because who does? And you may not be even the best miracle worker in your house. You may not be the one who's seen the most salvations or the most healings. That's not the point. You lead the culture by setting its every waking moment expectation what God can do.
Brilliant. Yep. Yep.
And it's not about you having all the testimonies. It's about you holding a space.
Mm.
And I think when God says, what are your services about? You know, what are they serving? What yeah. purpose are they for?
Yeah,
and, I get familiarity and I get comfort has a place.
But I think with this, we need to get away as well. What are our services all about? What is our church all about?
Yes.
Because it uh-huh. is this sense of, I really believe we have to be looking, especially in the charismatic Pentecostal spirit-filled church, not just about the spiritual things that we do and that we offer and we need to do more, but also actually some very practical things, some very relatively easy practical things to do. Now, they have to have a spiritual dimension. They have to be prayed in and a Holy Spirit-led. Yeah. Otherwise, we'll become weary from just doing good works. But yeah. there is this part where the church, your worship, your acts of worship, which are often acts of service to people, as Jesus says in Matthew 25, truly I say to you, and as much as you did it to one of the least of these brothers, you did it to me. That is an act of worship. So churches, yes. get out doing that. And I don't think there are, because I was thinking, how does this apply to some of our smaller churches? Maybe with an elderly congregation, they say, well, we don't have the energy that we once did. I don't think there is any church that I know that couldn't just do something for the community.
Well, I think we have an example in Bob and Phyllis Buchanan, two of our oldest church members who married for tens and tens and tens of years. He's in his 80s. Are they both in their 80s? They're not far off it. Of course. He certainly is.
Yes. Yeah.
And they're in a retirement complex. And a time spent with them is time well spent.
Oh, so encouraging.
They are the best people to go and visit in our community here in Glasgow. I mean, hands down. And they don't, I mean, he doesn't always hear well and they don't move well and lives well, what is it? You know, their lives well lived. They have got saved everybody in their retirement complex. I mean, everybody.
Amazing.
So, I mean, it is.
Yeah, and it's just through having the conversation with someone, making sure they're seen, and then just saying, would you like me to pray for you? Or have you encountered the presence of God?
I do think that if a minister or a holder of the space says, we believe God heals, just even add that into your rhetoric.
Yeah.
Into what you believe becoming spoken, you change your congregation forever.
I mean, I've got a few positive examples of where I'm beginning to see this thing outworked, and one of the places actually we were in a house church recently in a nation, and actually things in this spirit for various different reasons and dynamics that were going on in the place were challenging, but actually it was the ministering healing to one another that the spirit broke in, and despite there being a resistance in the spirit to God, quite a serious one, in that there were once people started to minister to each other and share testimonies, and all it took was a couple of testimonies, and before you knew it, we had actually multiple, maybe up to 10 healings in a small house church.
Caroline, the class behind the glass, is nodding at us. She was on that trip with us overseas, and I think it was utterly remarkable. The percentage quantity of healings, almost everybody who stood and put their hand in the air for, I have physical pain in my body, got healed. And there were some utterly remarkable movements. But can I tell you, in all of that, I was righteous. This is going to sound like I'm perpetually irritated. I was righteously indignant. I was so bothered in my spirit, and you could see it on me, and I'm doing my best to hold my facial shape in the right way, and I'm a bit useless at that, and I was so narked by wasted potential. How many of you sit in your church services and you're narked by wasted potential? And it's the wasted potential of, you could give God something extravagantly authentic of worship. You could literally do something beyond what you're doing to demonstrate the fullness of your adoration of the God who saved you. You know, and it was all very... And I go in my head, sit down, Emma, be quiet, stop it. And so I'm coaching myself. So I sat down, you watch me. If I ever sit down and worship, you know it's bad news. And because I'm trying my best to be well behaved, and probably wrongly to conform. So I'm doing what it looks like. I'm setting my cup down here to model it. I literally I sit on the edge of my chair because I don't want to look rude by just lying back in my chair like I'm disinterested. You've watched it so many times. I cross my legs. I fold my arms. It's quite defensive body language. I'm sitting, eyes closed, head bowed, and I'm thinking, Jesus, you hate this. I hate this. This is a repetitive conversation. They won't even give you a sacrifice of praise. They don't even think you're worthy enough to give a sacrifice of praise. I mean, I'm tired, and this is normally the honesty of the God. I'm tired, they're tired, and they're not even bothering. And I bothered and they didn't bother. Don't they think you're worthy? What do you want me to say? What's the key? Do I just let them go on with it and ignore it? Can I fix this? Is it fixable? Are they so far gone? Is it religious spirit? Do I do mass delivery? You know, this is my panicked kind of conversation before the Lord many times. But if I've sat down in worship, I am like at the end of my rope because normally you can lead a room from the front row. Mm-hmm. You can get quite, you know, like you and I've done that for years. We tag team leading the room if the worship leader is a dire disaster. Mm-hmm. And so I'm in that
or
kind
if they're
of
struggling
or if they're
because
struggling,
of the other things. In
you're much nicer than I am. And so I'm doing the, but you're worthy. But you're worthy, you know, kind of like, and I can feel the Spirit of God so grieved. And so I think Caroline's nodding at me, and I think, Spirit of God, will you and I just grieve together? Is it private grief? Or is it explosive, irritated, you know, annoyance? And,
Uh-oh, it wasn't private. She exploded. Listeners, she exploded.
I took whatever the floor was, and you're so in the, you deserve better than whatever this is. Because I'm fairly sure a rock was crying out in most of our places. And I heard the words come out of my mouth, how dare you? And I thought, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no, you know. And but it was so shocking, and it was shocking to me too, that even I'm going, what is happening? But the Spirit of the Lord literally exploded out of me. How dare you do this? And Caroline is now like, I mean, really, it was so awkward. And at that point, I think every bone in my body is tense, if bones can be tense. And Caroline, do you want to comment on it?
I think we don't have a mic.
We don't have a microphone, but
it's just that you were saying, do you know who you are? And if you don't, I will call you out by name.
Oh, yes. Caroline's just reminding me that I was doing a bit of a, you know who you are. And if you don't work with me, I will embarrass you and call you out by name for your behavior. I mean, it was at that level. And I'm thinking, this is not the prophet I want to be. This is, I don't, I'm a mummy. I'm a kind human. What is going on? This doesn't sit nicely with me.
Okay. I want to make sure that there's definitely, I know you're on a rant about this experience. I have some very, very positive, encouraging stories about the church and what it needs to be.
Yes.
So I want to make sure we have time for
absolutely. Let's go there quickly to honour that. But something in it was absolutely the word of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's happened to me more times I'd like to tell you. And I have to say, I sort of hate it, but I love the fruit. The process is grim, but the fruit is majestic. And then I'm like, if you've got physical, you know, Jesus heals and he's transformed and all of those kind of then fencing of the space, hands go up for physical pain. And suddenly it's like, we remember who God is.
Come on.
And they all get healed. I mean, literally, they all got healed. Mm-hmm. And I'm as stunned as they are by the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But it's that sense of how do we...
And it was chaotic and it was messy. Chaotic. And it was beautiful because there's tears
it
and there's
praise.
It
was beautiful. And they did all cry. And they will never forget it. And we will never forget it. Because sometimes you need a mercifully severe course correction so that you get the sudden kindness of God to totally remember exactly why you gather and who he is.
Yeah, very good. Very
but
good.
I did sit afterwards in the hotel going, because you and I was with afterwards, and I'm in the hotel by myself going, I hate my job. Was I rude, Jesus? Was I rude? Did it have to go like that? Is there a better way? And I'm tired, and did I show you off in the right way, Jesus? And then I was having a female moment, and I hated my outfit, and I didn't feel, you know, I hated my trainers, and I'm never wearing that outfit again to preach in, and I hate my job. And I was having a bit of a moan fest, but they all got healed.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Mm. So, yeah, the word is that our services need to be, we need to become the church and not the meeting, and build this idea of the church, the vision I had of the church being built with walls of glass so that actually we can demonstrate the wonder-working power of God to the world and not hide it away into our exclusive little clubs. And as we've travelled recently, I have seen glimpses of where this is happening that I think are going to be examples, fires that we can follow. First of all, the word that Emma had a couple of years ago about houses of worship.
Yes.
That are going to be where God is pouring his glory on. We are now seeing that. I don't know about in the other nations, but in the UK we are seeing that. In fact, I caught a little promo that Soul Survivor Church down in Watford in England put out last week. They have a worship encounter service on a Friday night that is really exploding. And they said, we realize we are part of a number of things like this yes. that are going. Actually, it seems to be Friday evenings that we're seeing that in the UK, Gas Street in Birmingham, up in Manchester, Audacious there.
Yeah.
There's guys here in Glasgow. We are doing something in Glasgow. There's mm-hmm. happening in London, houses of worship. That's mm-hmm. not the only thing that they do, but actually there is a youth birthing out of times of worship.
Authenticity, yeah.
And we're seeing it even in our teenage friends who are gathering themselves in back gardens, in up in fields.
Yes.
A group of boys took tents up and spent the night on the hills just doing a night of worship and mm-hmm. praise to get away from it. So that's one place where I'm seeing that the church is doing something different is happening, that is getting out of the space and where God is moving because he's free to move because it's mm-hmm. not got the trappings of our traditional services and programs. And then mm-hmm. the other place is a church that Samuel and I got to visit in South Africa, where they literally are inviting the streets in, and half the church spend half the service out on the streets, bringing the homeless, the needy, the broken, mm-hmm. the drug addicts. It's in the heart of the Red Light District, the drug area, and they are bringing them in. Mm-hmm. They're feeding them. They're worshiping with them. They're ministering healing. They're sharing the testimonies as it happens. Mm-hmm. And it is just, it is awakening live in action. Mm-hmm. And someone else that we know, one of our network associate ministers, is just about to start the same thing in a city in America. Mm-hmm. I saw her post in the comments on Power Hour that she's about to start it in the mm-hmm. Again, the tough red light area of their city and do a similar mm-hmm. thing. And I think this is where we're going to see some incredible works where we turn our church inside out.
I mean, what our 17-year-old has been talking to us about, because we're about to launch something similar in the autumn here on Sundays on the street, but it, rather than Sunday services, Sunday on the street, he's using the phrase with me, "Mummy, I need an inside team and I need an outside team."
Yep.
And he's been saying that to me for months. Sunday should always have an inside team and an outside
team. Yeah, and that's important because I think if I can represent mm-hmm. the non-extroverts here, that there has to be a way that the church works like yes. this, that is not just, because yeah. not all of us can go up and have 100 conversations out on the streets that share the gospel.
Have you ever encountered Jesus?
Yeah. Uh-huh. That is not for everyone. But there are still ways that the whole church can do this inside out.
Yes, an inside and an outside team rather than a coffee team and a service team.
Yeah.
You know, rather than a front of house team and a back of house team, which is all about what you do in the building, it's the reframing of the inside and the outside, inside and outside team.
And I'm talking about us taking our work outside. And I think I said earlier, where prayer for one another is visible, where we're, it's the church in the balconies, the forecourts, the glass rooms, the high streets, the car parks. It doesn't necessarily, that's the image I saw, but that's not necessarily that it means that it's literally external, outdoors, because in Scotland we can't do that. We just don't have the climate for that.
No, you get soaked.
But it's the principle of what God is asking us to do to stop being this insular social gathering and instead turn ourselves inside out.
I think really what I love about what you're saying is the pushing into what we've been prophesying for such a long time of, it's the day of harvest.
Absolutely.
Mass salvations. It really is.
Yeah.
You have to be inside out.
Yeah. Salvation, inside healing and deliverance. And it's happening. It happened. We were in a service, a worship service 2 weeks ago, and we were worshiping, and the worship leader hit the right anointed song for the moment, and people were spontaneously delivered or started to manifest deliverance.
That was wild, wasn't it? The power of God. I think
we had not mentioned deliverance. Now, obviously, we steward an atmosphere of deliverance, but we had not told them we were going into it, and it was the right song at the right time.
In fact, yes, there was. Yes, this is worth commenting on. And then, as an example, the the worship leader, our worship leader down there, well, good friends, well known, very much our a go-to when we're in this particular city to help us out. And I actually think he was only playing Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. It was actually quite a gathering warming up. So we weren't actually particularly...
No, Golden Oldies sung it many times, hundreds of times.
Yeah, I mean, and I got down on my knees. You were doing your usual worship thing. And Hannah was with us. And I think one of our sons, our older one, was back at the back doing the sound words. And I suddenly heard a commotion over my left shoulder. And I thought, oh, that's a... that's a demon coming out. Oh, better get up. Oh, no, I'll let Hannah do that. And then the noise over my right shoulder. And then the person to beside me. And I thought, within literally split seconds, whatever is happening in the spirit is now mass deliverance.
Mm.
And you and I and Hannah are off the floor like whippets running too. And it was literally all hands on deck. No shame, no embarrassment. Some very wild demonic manifestations. Mm-hmm. And literally within 15 minutes, the room was completely free.
Mm-hmm.
It was very noisy.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly how it should be.
People came in, they were yielded, they worshipped, they got free.
They were authentic. They wanted healed.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was no show.
Normal.
I just said to the worship leader, keep singing. Keep singing, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. Thank you for joining us for this episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark, and my gorgeous husband, David Stark. We've had fun. I hope you have been stretched to think a little bit. We will see you very soon for another episode. Bye. Hello, friends. I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app, and we have there exclusively podcast Par resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the PowerTV.app.